Well, I've got 2:30, so.
I do as well, Mr. Secretary, so we're going to get started. It's 2:30 p.m., Monday, August 10th, 2020. I'd like to convene the meeting of the Executive Committee of the Board of Trustees of the University of Illinois. The purpose of this meeting is to consider matters that are urgent and need to be addressed before the next regular meeting of the board. You have received the proposed items with a copy of today's agenda. Before we begin, I would like to go through a few ground rules. This is a meeting of the Executive Committee of the Board of Trustees, which consists of Trustees Cepeda and Holmes, with me serving as chair. Other trustees have been notified of the meeting, and several have chosen to attend as guests. I remind all on this call that this is a public meeting and is being live streamed. If you are not speaking, please mute your microphone, as we have found this enhances the sound quality of our meetings in the virtual environment. At this time, I'd like to ask the secretary to please call the roll.
Mr. Cepeda.
Here.
Mr. Edwards.
Here.
Ms. Holmes.
Here.
And you have a quorum, and others present, Mr. Chairman, are Trustee Dale, Trustee Jacobson, Trustee King, Trustee McMillan, Trustee Smart, Trustee Mirza, Trustee Bravo, Trustee Berthein, President Colleen, Dr. Wilson, Chancellor Jones, Chancellor Emeritus, Mr. Tom Barrows, Dr. Vijay Ghosh, Mr. Tom Hardy, myself, the Secretary, and staff members, Michael Hallahan, Ellen Foran, Cody Pope, and I also note Mr. Jay Walsh is on, and I apologize if I missed anyone else.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I appreciate the executive committee members for getting together on such short notice, and welcome all of our guests, and appreciate all the trustees for calling in to listen to this important item we have to consider today. We have a limited agenda for today, two items which have been posted to our board portal for your review. Vice President Barb Wilson, would you please review the first item, delegate authority to reduce student fees for academic year 2020-2021.
Thank you, Chair Edwards. This item, as you have hopefully had a chance to look at, gives flexibility to the three universities. As the board members recall, you approved tuition and fees in January and health insurance in March for at least two of the three universities. The Springfield came a little later. And COVID, the COVID pandemic hit us in March, as we all fully are aware of. And what we've got situation now is we have a lot of need for flexibility. So as we look to the coming year, we know that many of our students, some of the services will be scaled back at some of the universities. Some students will be coming back to us in various stages. So some will come back perhaps on ground but take all online classes. Others will come back on ground and take some hybrid and online classes. And some students will be coming to us through remote methods. So we have a lot of students in different categories. And we also know that at least Urbana is going to a remote end of semester planning. So given all of these various contingencies, the universities are requesting some flexibility in the issue of fees, particularly the ability to reduce modestly fees under differing conditions. And of course, I haven't even mentioned the fact that we don't know exactly what's going to happen with the pandemic as the semester unfolds. So we may be scaling back certain things even further depending upon how the virus acts and how we act. So flexibility is the key. This particular item gives delegates the authority for fees and fees, basically, not tuition, but fees, delegates the authority to reduce those if we need to chancellors with presidential oversight. So President Clean will be aware of and approving anything that we might that might happen, and we will promptly report anything to the board. But it gives us the ability to do that without having to hold a board meeting or wait until we have a regular board meeting to do that. So that's the item, and I'm happy to address questions.
Thanks, Barb. I'd like to note that the item reads only to reduce fees, not to adjust upwards. So we are delegating authority to reduce said fees upon necessary adjustment if services are different than planned. Correct. Any other questions for Dr. Wilson? No? Okay. The second item on our agenda is a request to establish a university-related organization to promote adoption and use of COVID-19 testing and tracing. This is something that I have been intimately involved with the president and the chancellors over the last months, and something that ultimately I hope the trustees will see great progress in our testing and tracking. And President Killeen, could you go over the item for everyone?
Thank you, Chair Edwards. And I want to thank the executive committee members and all the trustees attending this in mid-August executive committee. Today, we're asking for your approval to create a new university-related organization, part of our broad efforts to expand the reach of saliva-based COVID-19 testing pioneered by our world-class researchers in Urbana. You heard all about the breakthrough Shield technology from Chancellor Jones at July's board meeting, and I'm grateful to Robert, to Andreas Provost, his team, their team, and the brilliant faculty for their leadership in this regard. As you'll recall, Shield features a saliva-based test that is easy to administer, scalable, sensitive, and specific to the virus that causes COVID-19. The test produces rapid results at costs significantly below current alternatives, such as nasal swabs. Results are available within 2 to 6 hours, rather than 3 to 4 days or more. The quick turnaround time for test results is a key in curbing the virus, allowing for isolation early enough to limit spread of the infection. It also identifies and isolates people with asymptomatic cases who would otherwise spread the virus unknowingly. The saliva-based testing was initially developed for use in Urbana, but was quickly expanded to serve all three of our universities as on-campus instruction resumes this fall through a hybrid mix of in-person and online instruction. In the few short weeks since the technology was unveiled, there has been a surge of interest from institutions across the state and literally around the country who are eager to use it. So we have already created a new internal unit at the system level that is working to share the technology in Illinois, leveraging the Illinois Innovation Network partnerships. And today, we're seeking your approval to take the technology beyond nationwide by establishing a new university-related organization known as Shield T3. The name is a reference to the strategy's three-part approach: targeting, testing, and telling. And the new organization will operate independently from the statewide Shield Illinois program. Organizational staff will be named promptly after the organization is officially formed, and will work closely with Bill Jackson, executive director of our Discovery Partners Institute, which has already been supporting the state's effort to expand testing capacity. These initiatives fit hand in glove, we believe, with our land grant mission, a role we have filled with special distinction during the COVID-19 crisis, from leading edge epidemiological modeling to frontline care in our healthcare enterprise in Chicago. Expanding Urbana's breakthrough saliva-based testing will be a real game changer, providing fast and efficient results that will protect lives and livelihoods. Research suggests that frequent universal testing for the virus is critical to safeguarding our universities and communities. Mr. Chair and trustees, I urge your approval of this important and historic new URO, and thank you for your support. And especially, I want to thank you, Mr. Chairman, for your willingness to serve on the Board of Managers.
Thank you, President Killeen. If I could remind everyone on the call to please mute their phones and their computers, we are getting some background noise. We will now have a roll call vote on our agenda items. Greg, will you please read the title of the items on the regular agenda?
Two items. Item one, delegate authority to reduce student fees for academic year 2020-2021. Item two, establish university-related organization to promote adoption and use of COVID-19 testing and tracing program.
At this time, I'd like to open it up to questions. I imagine there's still some interest in our item two, and I want to make sure that everyone understands what the vote is for.
I think it might be helpful to better understand the contact tracing and how that would play into personal privacy, and just to understand it, if anybody could comment.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Trustee King. I'd like to ask Vice President Jay Walsh to comment in more detail on the contact tracing, both the digital and the human-to-human components.
Right. That's an excellent question. The contact tracing will have two components. There is an app that has been developed by a company called Rock Media. That app is now available, at least in the Apple Store, as safer in Illinois. That app has a component to it that allows one to have exposure contact. So if your phone is near another phone that has the app up and running, then your phone will record that that has occurred. If the person who has the other phone has a test that has turned positive, then your phone will be informed of that. You will not know who the test whose test turned positive, but you will be informed that it turned positive. And the purpose of the app is also to give you feedback as to what to do with that information. The other part of the contact tracing will be the traditional contact tracing. So the Department of Public Health will be informed of positive tests, and those persons who are positive will be contacted to find out who their contacts are, and then the contacts will be contacted by the Department of Public Health.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Jay.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Sure.
Mr. Chairman, you said, does it tell you how long you were in contact with the other phone and how far, or is it built for 6 feet or 10 feet, and does it tell you how long you were in contact?
My understanding is that the Bluetooth technology is not capable of telling you how far away you were from the other phone. It can tell you how long you were in close contact with that other phone. So the longer you have been, the two phones have been near each other, then the longer the exposure was. And that information can be stored on your phone also. I would note that the privacy component of this is all the information is stored on your own phone. And if you would like at any point to opt out, then you can delete all the privacy information off of your phone, and it is stored nowhere else. And once it's deleted off of your phone, it is gone. It cannot be retrieved from any other source.
Just a follow-up question on the structure. President Killeen, I know you and I have talked about this. It's set up as an LLC, which I think legally provides some protection for the university relative to coming back against us. I'm just concerned that everyone is satisfied that we have a structure that does protect the university from liability.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Trustee McMillan, and thank you for your earlier comments on that with that regard. We did bring in an external counsel to focus on exactly those kind of issues under Tom Barrow's shop, and we got the direct recommendations along those lines. And that's really what led us to the LLC model that we are seeking approval for.
Ed, I would, you know, posit that we're doing this testing across the university, and we do a lot in our healthcare system already, obviously. So, you know, presumably we have a lot of precedent in how to protect the university for conducting, you know, these kinds of tests.
I would just add that the tests, of course, are entirely non-invasive, very simple, a procedure of collecting a saliva sample into a vial. So it's very unlikely that there would be any problems associated with the sample collection.
The follow-up question on positives. I know false positives have been an issue with other testing. What's our procedure for ensuring that an individual doesn't have a false positive?
The team has conducted, and maybe Jay will elaborate on what I say briefly. The team has done about 6 clinical trials to look at the potential for false positives and false negatives. The specificity is very close to perfect, and so we don't expect false positives to create any kind of an issue. A false negative at levels may be seen, and our whole approach, because this is a surveillance model, means that if there's a false negative, it quickly gets rectified by the next time of the next test or the test after that. And in a sequence of 3 tests over a week and a half, we anticipate that 99% of all positives will be identified. Did I get that approximately right, Jay?
Absolutely got it right.
Thank you.
So I just signed up for this as we sat here. It was rather easy to do. Thank you. I do have a question, though. When it says, would you like to notify your healthcare provider, it does say McKinley, Order of St. Francis, or other. And I'm wondering if there's a way to include the other facilities that people naturally use in the community of the university. Our College of Medicine partner, Carl, and Christy are not listed, and I'm wondering if there would be a challenge to make sure that those are also included so we can have an inclusive list.
Jay, would you like to comment?
That's an excellent comment, and we will follow up with that.
Thank you.
Okay.
One more question. Sorry, Mr. Chairman. One more quick question.
Yes.
Is the contact tracing app mandatory to sign up for students?
I'd like perhaps to invite Chancellor Jones to answer that question in the context of UIUC.
Thank you, President Killeen. What's mandatory, we cannot mandatory or mandate the use of the app, but the testing is absolutely required. And we've been going back and forth with the appropriate way to frame our desire that everyone that can utilize the Safer in Illinois app, but unfortunately we can't mandate it. And so we are going back and forth with language, strongly encouraged, strongly recommended. We're trying to let people know that it is greatly important to do so, because it will facilitate the digital contact tracing capability that Jay talked about. But we also understand that not everybody is going to have a smartphone capability. We were actually purchasing it in Urbana-Champaign smartphones for those faculty or students that, but students in particular, that don't have smartphones. And the phone will be the basis under which becomes important, because the phone will be the basis that allows you access to the classroom or not. And then the contact tracing capability of it is part of our strategy to mitigate the spread of the disease. It's critically important. And so we are recommending it, but we can't mandate it. So it is strongly encouraged. And we're also working on kind of a boarding pass technology that allows you to print out your status and hopefully still give people access to the necessary classrooms and other facilities that they would need access to. But it's difficult to do the containment of the disease, Trustee Dale, if you don't have the contact tracing capability. It's just absolutely critical. And so we're trying to encourage people to understand how important that is, so that if a person tested positive, we can be able to isolate that particular person, but have the ability to quarantine all of those that have been in recent contact with that individual.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chancellor. Thank you, Trustee Dale, for your question. Okay. At this time, I'd ask for the committee, from the committee, a motion to approve the items, and then we will conduct a roll call vote of the committee.
So moved.
Second.
So moved by Trustee Holmes and seconded by Trustee Cepeda. Greg, would you please conduct a roll call vote of the executive committee members?
Mr. Cepeda.
Yes to all.
Mr. Edwards.
Yes to all.
Ms. Holmes.
Yes to all.
Motion passes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I'm going to ask Tim if you'd like to make any comments or updates to the trustee on all the matters that you're addressing at the system vis-a-vis COVID.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for your affirmative vote to the Executive Committee and the penetrating questions that we're hearing. Right now, the test procedure is operational at UIUC. Some 2,000 tests were conducted yesterday, I'm told. So we're at 2,000 tests per day, which will be rising to 10,000 tests per day on the Urbana campus. And everybody is mandated to take tests twice a week. I've taken three tests, and in all cases, my results were returned in the time frame that we talked about. UIC is starting the saliva tests, I believe, next week, with several hundreds and going to 3,000 in a relatively short period. So all of the residential students will be regularly tested with saliva testing. And UIS is also involved and will be sending their samples regularly to the veterinary medical school at Urbana-Champaign for testing there. And the results are all going to be distributed to all of the University of Illinois system staff through the good services and offices of the McKinley system, where the data flows have been orchestrated and centralized. So all of that is in operational shape. As implied by some of my prefatory comments, there's intense interest, and I would say growing interest, in this technology for several obvious reasons. The speed of response is pivotal to curtailing the spread of the transmission. It's well known now, or it's increasingly well known, that some 30 to 40% of carriers can be completely asymptomatic. And that's notably true for younger carriers. And unless they get tested, and they may well not if they don't have any symptoms, it's hard to proceed to isolate and to limit transmission cycles. So we believe that that this technology will allow the detection of asymptomatic carriers very early, because everybody is going to be tested, to be followed by a digital, state-of-the-art digital and human-to-human contact tracing. And in each of our three universities, we've set aside enough space to provide comfortable isolation for those who are who have to quarantine for whatever reason. And of course, we are very concerned with them continuing in isolation or from isolation their studies. So all of the academic components are in place so that students who are isolated can continue progress towards their degrees. So we believe the speed of the results is very important for containing epidemics of this type in contained settings such as campuses. Also, the cost structure of this technique is remarkable because our amazing faculty at Urbana have discovered basically a way to do this which eliminates the use of many of the reagents that drive the costs up. And since it's not a nasal invasive kind of test, it eliminates the need for swabs and also professional medical professionals in the accumulation of the samples. So from many perspectives, cost, speed, and accuracy, it's and the fact that we've actually worked through all the logistics to put this in place. As Chancellor Jones will tell you, there are some 20 tents set up in Urbana where students can walk through, swipe their ID card, faculty and staff likewise, generate a sample, and then move on with the rest of their day, and then they receive the results rapidly. So we believe that this kind of class of technology is really going to be important for COVID management into the future, namely because of the significance of asymptomatic carriers. We have serious indications of interest from many institutions in Illinois. We've been consulting regularly and informing the governor and his staff regularly, and also the mayor of Chicago and other important stakeholders as to the status of this technology. And we believe that we have a responsibility as a land-grant system to make it more generally available beyond our campus walls, if you like, including the communities in which our campuses are embedded. So we have adopted a very aggressive approach to building out the infrastructure to enable this technology to be more broadly available. We have, for example, purchased 30 PCR machines. We've designed, the Granger College of Engineering has designed a mobile truck, the first prototype of which will be delivered, we believe, later this month, that will itself allow for 10,000 tests per day in locations to be determined by the modeling aspect of it. That's the targeting aspect, one of the T's, where the modeling is designed to focus on the highest risk, either vulnerable communities or congregate facilities or areas where surveillance will be particularly helpful. So we're bringing that to bear as rapidly as we can within Illinois, but we're also seeing demand outside of Illinois. And that is why this this URO is particularly important right now, so that we can negotiate licenses, manage intellectual property aspects of it, and also be able to, where appropriate, deliver this family of technologies, this comprehensive end-to-end system more broadly. And I could list a number of universities that outside of Illinois that have already expressed direct interest in this. We've signed a number of NDAs, non-disclosure agreements already. So we're moving, with a careful attention to issues of accuracy, approvals, regulatory environments, and containment efforts that are appropriate for different settings. And I think this is a testament to the fact that our university system, when it encountered, you know, the COVID crisis in March and April, moved very quickly into a recognition that innovation was going to be needed, that it wasn't going to be possible with existing technologies to really firmly contain the spread of this kind of disease. And so our teams of brilliant faculty, very interdisciplinary, covering in a banner across multiple departments and colleges, have been working literally night and day to bring us to this point now where we have an operational capability, which we think puts us in the best possible position, given all of the pressures on us, to open with some degree of confidence that we will be able to manage the spread. Now, all of that said, as our students return, we will be seeing cases. There's no question about that, because as our students arrive, there will be some percentage, we don't know exactly what it is, of individuals who are now carrying the disease that have taken it on elsewhere and will be arriving with us. We intend to very quickly discover who they are and to isolate them and to allow them to continue their studies in the optimal setting. So perhaps that's enough, Chair Edwards, to give you a little sense of where we are and why we really wanted to work with you to have this executive committee action today. And I want to thank you personally for all the many calls you've taken as this thing has been tracked and developed over the last few months.
Thank you, President Clean. I'd just like to add for the trustees and the entire public that the work that has been done, the interdisciplinary work between our chemists and our biologists and our physicist modelers and our epidemiologists to get us to this point where we have developed our own COVID test that is both, you know, easier to administer and cheaper than anything else out there and accurate, so that we can open up our campuses, as you said, President Clean, with hope that we can contain the disease. You know, my congratulations to Marty Burke, our brilliant chemistry professor, and the entire team at UIUC, Chancellor Jones, for getting us to this point. And I might add that the reason the university-related organization needs to be created is because of the inbound interest we are getting from other institutions from outside of Illinois to look at and perhaps purchase this technology for their own institutions. And there's no sales effort going on. We're just picking up the phone as people are reading about what has been happening in Champaign. And so we should all be very proud of our team. I think this board has challenged the administration of our entire system to do everything possible to bring our students back to campus safely. And this is certainly a manifestation of the effort that has gone into that. And with that, if there are not any other questions, I would entertain
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Just one other thing that someone might comment on is a decision on stopping Big Ten football.
Yes, we can go off agenda now and go into general discussion. And it is in the newspapers, so it is not inside information that there is an expectation that Big Ten football will not be played. It's been reported publicly and generally that there's a decision to be announced tomorrow. I don't know, Chancellor Jones, if you want to comment on that, and as I know you're still in discussions with other Big Ten presidents and chancellors. So Trustee McMillan, trying to limit your answer to publicly available information, Chancellor Jones, could you address Trustee McMillan's question?
Sure, I'd be happy to. You know, I think we all realize that COVID-19 is a situation that creates an environment where almost every day we're taking in information, digesting that information, and trying to resolve on an ongoing basis the status of a number of our activities. It is very true. You probably, if you've been watching the media today, you've heard stories and reports about this issue. And at this juncture, we're still under discussion, and we will certainly let you know as soon as a final decision has been made, Trustee McMillan, but it's still under discussions that have been going on in the last several days and started at 7 o'clock this morning and is still ongoing. And so as soon as we know, we'll be very, make sure that we share it with President Colleen and the rest of the board as soon as we know what the final resolution is.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, I would entertain a motion from a committee member to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Greg, will you please conduct a roll call vote of the committee members?
Mr. Chair, have we had the vote on the items yet?
We already did.
Oh, yes.
Okay, thank you.
They both passed. So this is a roll call vote for the adjournment of the meeting. Mr. Cepeda.
Aye.
Mr. Edwards.
Aye.
Ms. Holmes.
Aye.
Your meeting's adjourned, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Thank you to the committee members for assembling on short notice. Thank you to the trustees for your involvement in this meeting and very relevant questions. And certainly thank you to our administration for getting us to this point where we are a world leader in innovation for COVID testing and tracking.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.